Okay, here we go. We're going to start a new series today. It's called Owners. And just a quick shout out, actually. This little clip that we just had and stuff, most of the time, our team puts together our bumper videos and our graphics and all of that. And we're so thankful for such a professional, capable team that does that. But I want to give a little shout out for this because it's really fun. This material actually came from a church called Citizens Church. And Citizens Church, we got to be a part of helping them launch a couple years ago. Financially, we got behind them. Prayerfully, we got behind them. Just personally supporting them, myself with their team. And we want to do a series called Owners. It just came to our heart. We looked and found out they were doing a series called Owners. So I just called them up and said, hey, where'd you guys get your material? They said, well, we developed it. I said, send it to us. Like, give us it so we can use it. And so we got to help these guys launch their church, got to help them move forward. They started building some stuff, and now we actually went to them and said, why don't you share some back with us? And so it's cool to be part of the kingdom of God, to be able to share like that. Hey, isn't that a cool story? Come on. So there it is. That's awesome. We love it. Owners. We're going to talk for the next few weeks about what it looks like to own something rather than just to occupy something or just to rent something or just to be a guest at something. Owners take a different level of responsibility, and why we're going to talk about this is because I really believe, and it's a biblically based idea, that this church will grow and thrive and see all that it's meant to see in Jesus Christ as we all, who are the believers in Jesus, who say, God, you have my life, you have my heart, you have my mind, you have my everything. When we all decide to take some ownership and responsibility of the work of God, specifically that he's doing here, we're going to see what God is capable of. So I want to invite you for the next 5 weeks to a new level of ownership in what's happening here. This church, Pastor Joel said it well as well, this church doesn't run on a couple people. It doesn't run on a pastor or a couple pastors or a few people or whatever it might be. This church will always, I always believe that God has given us everything we need to do everything that he's called us to do within the people that are here. But it will only ever happen because all of us are activated in our faith and all of us are stepping into what God has called us to do. That we are all meant to be owners. That I'm not supposed to be the only owner. Though I will tell you, we've almost been here 5 years. March, the beginning of March is our 5-year anniversary of being part of this church. And when we first came, I remember coming here. We sat right here before we came up and preached a few months before that. And I remember feeling like, God, If you give this ministry to me, if you ask me to do this, I want it. And I'm going to do everything I can to build it and grow it and make it thrive. I'm going to try to rally leaders. I'm going to try to do all this stuff. I want to own the responsibility of this. God, if you say that I can go, if you say that you want me to be part of this, if you say you want us to move our family and do this, I'm ready to take ownership of this thing. And I still feel so much call to do that here. But I know that some of you are the same way. I know that some of you are in that same boat where you felt, I feel like maybe I'm supposed to lead something here. I feel like maybe I'm supposed to invest something here. I feel like maybe I'm supposed to pour in something here. Or maybe there are people here who say, nah, someone else has got it. Someone else is taking care of things. I want you to know that God doesn't ever plan on seeing the potential of this church without all of us stepping in. Isn't that a weird thing? You think, yeah, right, God would do it on his own. Some of us think, no, God will do it on his own. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need that person. He definitely doesn't need that one. He doesn't need that one. He only needs himself. He is power. He has all power. He has all authority. He doesn't need everyone. He just needs himself and maybe a preacher. Oh, okay, a worship team. He just needs that. But Jesus is very clear to us. That's not the plan that he laid out for us. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. It's called the Great Commission, and this is where most of us, we often spend our time here. Say some of Jesus' last words to his disciples after he died, was resurrected from the dead, came back to his disciples and spoke to them. Some of the words that he had to say at that very point are the things that we hold on to or hang our hat on most in our faith. And here's what he said. It's called the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. Everything in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In other words, you know that every sickness can be healed. That you know that every disease can be wiped away. You know that every brokenness can be restored. You know that every demon can be cast out. That everything. This is who Jesus says. I have all authority. There's no one else who has authority. I have all authority. And you sort of imagine being a disciple. I don't know if Jesus paused there. Took a second to let them think about it, consider that all authority. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa. What's he going to do with that? Is he going to overtake Rome? Is he going to overtake our oppressors? Because we're God's people. Is he going to take out everyone who's not God's people? Is he going to go ahead and with one foul swoop make everyone who's good go to heaven and everyone who's bad go to hell? Is that what he's going to do right now? And with all authority, what would he do? Is he just going to shout with the voice that can boom across everything and say, I'm Jesus, bow to me? What's he going to do with all authority on heaven and on earth? What will he do with that? And here's Jesus' response to that very question. It says, therefore, go. Excuse me? I want you to consider that for a moment. Maybe you haven't before. He doesn't say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore I will go. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore you go. You make disciples. You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. All authority was his, but all responsibility was put back on us. Where he says, I've got everything. I could do this all, but instead I'm going to give it all to you to run with. When you start to recognize that, I wonder if you've ever stopped to think about that and considered it. What might God do if all of us together said, we're together in this, we're stepping into this, we're all owning this, we're all taking this thing and running. Now, none of us ever get ownership that God doesn't have. None of us ever get to claim the victory and say, this is mine, that one's yours, maybe, that one's yours, but this one's mine. And so none of us get to do that. Ownership isn't about us taking something from God. It's us stewarding the call of God. It's us saying, yes, God, if you want to do all of that and you're saying that I'm going to do it, I'll just say yes. Usually, in fact, always, that calling is bigger than your capacity, is bigger than your potential, it's bigger than what you can do, it's bigger than what you can dream of, it's bigger than what you could imagine for your own life, it's bigger than your experience, your gifts, and your capabilities. It's bigger than all of those things. And so what was God going to do if he's putting that in front of people and saying, I have something bigger than any of you, and I want you to go and do it? Can you imagine that? It feels like, God, are you setting us up for something here? Like, God, you come on. Like, what? Imagine I say that to my kids. Kids, I'm gonna take you out for a bike ride. Once you bake a cake, clean the dishes, clean your room, sweep the floor, give me a foot massage, make my hair grow back, and do all these things. Once you do all those things, then I'll take you for a bike ride. What? I know what my kids would say. What? I can't do all that stuff. Like, no, you cannot. Like, you just can't. We know that. But God, he places that in front of these were a bunch of people who had just betrayed Jesus, been afraid of all the people of Jesus, didn't want to make disciples of anyone, yet alone, let alone all nations. And here Jesus comes along and says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Isn't that great? Yeah, that's great, Jesus. Finally, go and do the work so that we can be in the in crowd rather than the out crowd finally. Go and do that. He goes, no, you go and do that. And we at Northgate Church, we are part of that 2,000 years later. Now we have the same calling from God. He says, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. You go. Make disciples of all nations. But to accept the responsibility that God wants to give us, we need to assess our resources, don't we? I mean, anytime we want to become owners, we need to look into the bank account and say, can I afford what it costs to be an owner? Can I buy into this? Can I invest in this? Do I have what it takes to buy into ownership? If you were going to look at a house, in fact, for the next few weeks, we want to look at buying a house and what it would look like and what that means. And so when you're going to buy a house, you'd go to the bank and say, what do I have? Am I good? Am I there? Well, do I have enough to do what I need to do to buy this house? My Kendall and I, we one of the first open houses that we ever checked out as a married couple was well beyond our means, partly because everything was well beyond our means at that point, partly because this was just like well beyond most people's means. But we lived in this little character neighborhood in Victoria, and we rented like an eighth of a house. And there was this a full house across the road that had just been redone. And we're like, oh, it's an open house. Let's go check it out. And isn't it just so fun to go and look at things that you can't have? Anyways. So we go across the road, and we're like wandering in. I don't know if we were trying to play it up. I'm probably in my sweatpants or who knows what. But anyways, we walk in there and check out the place. And we're sort of chatting some things through and looking around. And then the realtor comes up to us and just has some questions for us. I'm pretty sure she was on to us pretty quick. And she just goes, hey, are you guys in the market? Oh, yeah, I think so. Is this the market? I think so. If this is the market, then we are in it, you know. She goes, so have you been pre-approved for a mortgage like this? And we're like, no, I'm not really. No, you haven't checked, you know. We weren't even close. Well, from that point on, she ignored us. She had no interest in us. I don't know if you're a realtor in here, just so you know, that stings. I would have never gone to that woman after that. It just doesn't feel right. But anyways, we were like, we're way outside this. Are you kidding me? And she's like, oh, never mind. And she just walks away. She goes and deals with other people while she tolerates us wandering through the house. And some of us feel like that within a church, I think. Where I say, hey, you've got a role here. You've got some ownership to take here. If you're a believer in Jesus, by the way, if you're not a believer in Jesus, it's okay. You're welcome here. God wants to shape and change your life. He wants to call you into the same plan that he has for us. But if you're a believer in Jesus, then the mission of Jesus is yours as much as it is mine. That the calling to be what God has called us to be is for you as much as it is for me. And so sometimes we think, yeah, well, I don't even have anything to offer. I can't preach. I can't, you know, I don't like people. I don't like being on stage. So that's some people's challenge, I'll just tell you. Administration is your gift. I don't like this. I don't know if I can do anything. And so there's another sermon telling me that I am not good enough to be part of church. I want you to know something. Unlike that realtor that we dealt with, when you walk into Jesus' house, say, God, I love you. I want to serve you. He walks you back to the bank, the spiritual bank, says, hey, let's just see what you have in your account, opens up the account, and you see that you're pre-approved to be part of this. Right off the get-go, you're spiritually pre-approved to be part of this. What we need to learn is how to take withdrawals and use what we've got in the account. Because God has given us every spiritual gift that we need. And in fact, this church's existence and growth and potential is seen when all of us start to learn how to draw on our spiritual gifts and use them together. And that's what we learn in Scripture. That's what we understand in Scripture. And so we want to experience that together. You have been fully pre-approved. You've been fully resourced. Some people are walking in their gifts a little bit more. Some people have a little bit more natural talent or natural experience than you. But the great news is this. God does not wait for your natural talent. He doesn't go, what's your natural talent? Let's see if we can just boost it a bit. There's your spiritual gift. But a spiritual gift actually is very different than that. I want to explain a little bit about them. One, they're given to every believer. There's no one in here. If you said, Jesus, I want to follow you with my life, says when we accept Christ as our Savior, we're filled with the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit starts to give us gifts. When we're baptized, we start to experience those gifts. We start to learn how to draw on the gifts that God has given us. So every believer is given spiritual gifts. The second thing that I want to tell you about spiritual gifts is that a spiritual gift allows us to accomplish greater things than human effort should afford us. And so some people have just learned how to be really good with their human effort. That's great. I like when people steward their own efforts well and their own talents well and their own experience well. But your gift is not about how much can your human effort accomplish. Your gift is about what happens when you put in this much spiritual or human effort and somehow this much is accomplished. You just seem to naturally do this thing. Well, I encourage that person, and somehow this gets done. Or one person struggles with administration like this, where you get on the computer and it just seems to just be done. I know for me, when I preach, I've had to learn that preaching is actually a spiritual gift. It's not that I'm just naturally good at something. It's that God actually uses this gift for things that I couldn't accomplish. Many times I have people come to me and say things after the service that I'm like, and they're like, this part when you said that, it really impacted me. Many preachers will tell you this, where you hear that and you're like, I never said that. I have no idea who you were listening to, but I wish I was listening to that one instead of myself today too. Like, that sounds great. And so often that's the case, and that's a preaching gift where I put out my effort to this far, but the Spirit seems to launch it this far. And away it goes. All of us have that opportunity. That's great news, because some of us don't feel like we're very good at anything. The great news is spiritual gifts don't say, oh, you're not very good at anything. Well, then you just get a little response here. No, it says if you just want to start walking, start taking some deposits or withdrawals from your spiritual account, by the way, it never depletes it, and start using it, you're going to start seeing the Spirit move in ways that you've never seen the Spirit move. So you start recognizing, what is my gift? What have you called me to, God? What that spiritual piece, not just what am I good at, but what is that thing that God, you want to accomplish greater through that thing than my efforts could ever accomplish? What is that thing? For some of you, it could be the gift of hospitality. And you invite someone over and it seems easy. You know, you put on this massive feast and somehow it just was easy. And not only that, but people want to come back and they tell you that they're in your home and they feel a peace and they feel this. And you're like, well, I'm just making food. Like, is this fair or not? A lot of times when we use our spiritual gift, we think, this isn't fair. I'm doing the easiest one. I'm getting the most bang for the least buck. This isn't fair. That's what spiritual gifts are. They allow us to walk in a way that is naturally in line with the Spirit of God, and we accomplish greater than we could accomplish on our own. Also, spiritual gifts all should point to the giver of the gifts. Spiritual gifts come from God. And that means that they allow us to point to God more frequently. If your gift causes you to point to yourself more frequently, then that gift, either I don't want that gift in this church. I don't want you to use that gift that way in this church. Your gift needs to point to God. That means you approach it humbly. That means it doesn't need to shout, doesn't need to tell everyone all about it. That also means it doesn't discredit anyone else's gift. It doesn't tell anyone that your gift is better than their gift. When it's a spiritual gift, it points to the one who gives spiritual gifts, and that's only from God. And so when that's the case, then our gift, when it is operating, actually causes people to see Jesus more than it causes people to see you. I love that. I love that sense. I love the idea that even though some of us are really good at certain things, like someone who has a lot of experience in business and knows how to start a lot of things, well, they create a lot of entrepreneurial things. They accomplish a lot. They see a lot of business come. They see a lot of things happen, and people go, wow, look at that person. Look at all that they can do. Yeah, but they came from this kind of family. They had this kind of startup, and they had this kind of training, and they're networked this way, and they've got all that stuff, and all of that. It may be true, and you look at them and say, they are really good at that thing, where it's a spiritual gift that someone looks at that person and says, something's going on there that can't be explained by their experience, their background, their network, and all that they have. Something seems to be pointing to someone else. That must be God in them. That must be some other. Maybe they come over and say, excuse me, you are not very good at this thing, and yet it always works. Who is that? Oh. That's the Lord. I love that. There's a lot of people in the Bible who are not very good at the thing that God called them to do. And God did a lot through it. I think we got to keep that in mind. Last one. Spiritual gifts create unity in diversity. We're all given gifts. And we gave you a little bit of reading for today, actually. Do I have it somewhere in here? on this card, the seat card. Hopefully you have one fairly close to you, or we can try to get you one at the info desk. It has a few verses on it this week. It has 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. And we would love for you to have a chance to read that those scriptures today. And so I'm not going to use all of them, but if you read those, you're going to learn about what are the gifts, what are the number of different gifts. And in fact, I don't think that's an exhaustive list. I think there's other things. If you read about gifts, you're going to learn about all sorts of different things. People have all sorts of opinions. But in general, what we need to know is that God wants to empower us to do work that we cannot do. It will glorify Him and it will draw us together, not push us apart. And when we're using our gifts, that will start to happen. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 30, though, is the conclusion of one of those chunks of scripture. It says this: "Now you are the body of Christ." What that means is that you are together. We are together representing Jesus to this world. And so if Jesus is going to be thriving and looking good to this world, it's not going to be because there's one person who's doing a good job at something. It's going to be because all of this church is walking together in their spiritual gifts. If Jesus is sort of limping in this world and people are wanting to know what Jesus looks like, and he's sort of like this, but he's sort of, yeah, we can't really see it because this person's kind and this person's rude and this person's not, I don't really know what it is. That's because we're disunified. But when we come together and all of our gifts work together, all of a sudden people can see Jesus. Reality is when the world around us wants to see Jesus, they're not going to find the nicest Christian. They're going to find the meanest Christian. So I guess that's Jesus. I'm happy to reject that. Now you're the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I want you to know, sometimes I think I speak too much about the idea that all of us just have equal opportunity towards Jesus. But the reality is, it's just that the Bible talks too much about that. It's not me that talks about that. I just keep talking about the Bible, and the Bible says It's not about your aptitudes, it's about Jesus Christ in you. And so because of that, we're all part of it. You may say, I don't even know where I stand with Jesus. Today, if you say, Jesus, I want to follow you, I want to give you my life, your bank account, your spiritual bank account gets just as full as mine. All of a sudden, you've got these gifts. Maybe I know how to use mine a bit more. I have a sense of who the Holy Spirit is. I can hear when He's tugging on my heart and He's calling me. There's a few differences in learning how to use your gifts, but I want you to know your bank account is no more empty or full than mine. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have the gifts that you need to accomplish the work that Jesus calls you to in this life. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, guidance, and the different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The answer to that will be no. Together, we carry those things together. None of them is like more important. They do have different roles, but none of them is more important. And then he says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And what he's about to do there is he's about to move into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is all about love. And in fact, it says in there, if you have some of these gifts but do not love, your gifts are useless. They're just a clanging gong. Like they're of no value to the body. They're of no value to the city. They're of no value to other people. If you won't love with your gifts, then your gifts are not of any value at this point. So I want to give you that context, because you might read 1 Corinthians 12 this week, and you might have a tendency to say, I know who I am. I'm the prophet. And you're going to walk around to people, hey, I'm a prophet, I'll tell you what to do, you're wrong. God hates you. Judgment, 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 fire. You know, and that's how we're going to live our lives. And so I hold up a second. What happened to the love? Oh, no, I'm a prophet. Love is for the pastor. No, not true. Love is for the body of Christ. Love is for all people empowered by Jesus to live like Jesus for this world. If people want to see Jesus, they need to first see someone who loves them. So Jesus walked that way. Worship team, you can come on up and join me. I want to talk quickly about what are the five steps that I want you to take to sort of explore what are your spiritual gifts. What do you got? What's in your account? You know, how does God want to start moving in you? And we all have this natural take to, oh, I think it's probably this because I like doing that. Or what? Oh, and maybe that's some of it, but let's just look at this quickly. First of all, pray for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I just need you. I want to walk in that kind of way that is beyond me. That's bigger than me. So I want to just be filled with your Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is at that point where things just bubbled up and rose up and started to manifest in ways that the humans didn't plan on, didn't understand, and yet accomplished great things. So sometimes when we pray for the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're not praying for something we understand. We're praying that, God, would you do something beyond my understanding and beyond my capacity and beyond my capability and beyond my experience, beyond all of that. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Second one, explore your passions. Sometimes it's good just to look at what are the things I'm passionate about. Maybe that's connected to my gift. For instance, this may help, and you don't want to create a critical heart. I don't want you to establish a critical heart in your life. But if I were to say to you, what's the one thing that Northgate needs to do to carry out the mission of Jesus on this planet? This whole room would have probably many, many different answers. Probably if you wrote down, what is your thing? If Northgate would do one thing, you probably are saying, oh, it's that Northgate does this, or it's that Northgate isn't doing this. And don't let that be a critique for you of oh, I got to go and tell the pastor, you're not doing this, it's terrible. Let it be something for you of exploring, oh, maybe there's something in there about gifting for me. If you say, oh, they just need to hit the streets. I had this one friend always, every time I listened to a sermon with him, he's this passionate guy. We'd go out after and he goes, don't you just wish at the end of a sermon like that, they'd just say, okay, let's hit the streets and walk out. And he'd always bounce like that. And he's like ready to go. And that was his heart. It was evangelism. That's his spiritual gift, was evangelism. And he wanted the church to be moving that way. Like, he just had this fire. And so does that mean that everyone should run in that? Like, if I right now said to you, let's hit the streets, let's go. Half of you would be like, no, I don't want to. Some of you would be like, I'm going to pray. I'm the intercessor over here. Some of you are going to be like, I'm going to counsel the people who just got scared in that moment. And you're the pastor. Some of you are the prophets, and you're going to start to say, that person shouldn't go, and that person shouldn't. No, they wouldn't do that. Some of you are going to be prophets and be like, okay, you need to go to this house, and this house. You wait. You know, whatever. They're like the strategist behind the thing. Some of you are the preacher. Some of you are hospitality. You're like, oh, yeah, you guys go do that. I'll make donuts here. If you have some friends that want to come back with you, that sounds good. And away we go, and that's the church. Not that all of us should go and be like, well, I don't feel any calling to this, but if that's Christianity, so be it. I think all of us can be and will be called to things that are beyond us and beyond and outside of our gifting as well at different times. However, God wants to grow you in your gifting. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Explore your passions. Read the scriptures on the seat card. Just take some time. Let God speak to you about those scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. Oh, why is that list there? Is there anything is there any other pieces? There are some other pieces where God sort of empowers people through scripture that aren't in that list. And so explore that. Next one, ask close friends to confirm and explore with you. Some of you are going to be like, I think I have the gift of wisdom. And your wife's going to say, no, you do not. Explore that together. No, why do you say that and why do I say this? You know, take some time, look at it together. And then the last thing, practice with friends and small group. Hope you're in a small group to grow in these things together. Reality is the larger we get as a church, the harder it is to just practice our gifts in all sorts of disorder. But within a small group with relationships and close friends, all of a sudden we can start we can start developing some of those gifts together. We can start growing. Maybe one of you says, I feel like God, I don't know what it is, but God seems to be calling me to words of knowledge. And you're going to pay attention during prayer times. I hope your small group prays. So you can pay attention during those times and just like, hey, just say no, I'm just practicing, I'm just growing in this. But God seems to be giving me a little word of knowledge for your life. And you know, are you experiencing this? Are you experiencing, and we just get a chance to grow in that. Lately, I've had this heart that every small group would have a worship leader in it. Have someone playing guitar, singing, that we'd be a church that just sings, not just on Sunday, but all throughout the week. We're singing in homes and things. Anyways, we haven't put any legs to that. Worship team's right now trying to figure out what I'm talking about and why. But the other thing is, wouldn't it be cool if in every small group we would hear stories of how gifts were starting to be moving and used and shaping people, and encouragement sparked up right there, prophecy sparked up right there, and preaching all of a sudden came to life in that space, and hospitality went to a new level in that space, and what we felt, wouldn't that be cool? And we all got to celebrate each other's gifts. That would be special. So I want you to do those five things. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Explore your passions. Read the scriptures on the seat cards. Ask close friends to confirm and explore with you, and then practice with friends and your small group. But today I also want to just take 1 second and pray for some of you. Maybe you didn't know the Jesus who pre-approves you. You don't know the Jesus who says, you are everything that you need to be, and I want to grow you and shape you. That you don't have to be limited by your understanding. You don't have to be limited by your background, your network, your anything. But come with me, walk with me, and I will give you everything that you need to live a radically different life than you've ever lived before. Today maybe is a day where you need to meet that Jesus. And so maybe you could bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment, just so people could have a private moment. But I want to ask you, if today you say, I actually want to start to turn towards Jesus, I want to experience His goodness in my life, I want to know what it is to follow Him into the Spirit, the work of living out the gifts of the Spirit, rather than being limited by my own talents, my own abilities, or even rather than being proud of all of those things and trying to do that. But I just want to know what it is to walk with Jesus and live with His power in my life. If today you say, I just want Jesus, I want to follow Him, I don't understand it all, but I want to follow Him. If today you say that, why don't you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? So I just want to follow Jesus. I want to walk with Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. I want to go where He asks me to go. I want to do what He calls me to do. God bless you. As I do, I want to experience the fullness. God bless you. Fullness of who He is and the spiritual gifts that He's called me to walk with. Lord, I just pray for every hand that was raised. Every person who's saying, there's something in me wanting to ask for a little bit more. Something in me wanting to look to you, Jesus. There's something in me desiring what you have for my life rather than what I can provide for my life. Help me discover you today. Lord, I just pray that they would all know you today. They would know you. They would look in their spiritual bank account and see that it is full. They would look in the church and see the ways that they are called here and that there's openings for them to serve and be involved. Jesus, teach them how to walk in your ways and listen to your Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.